Let's open our Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalm 85, and we're going to be in verse 6. If you have your place in the Scriptures and are able, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Just one verse to kind of get us going here, here this morning, Psalm 85 and verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Did you get that? Let's look at it one more time. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Christians ought to be happy, ought to be the happiest people anywhere. Seriously, we ought to have joy in our hearts. Unbelievable. If there is a lack of joy and rejoicing, if the happiness is not there, that's a sure sign that we're in need of a revival. Amen. Title of the message this morning, Happy People. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you again for the privilege of being here. And Lord, I pray, thank you for these folks that have come out. And God, I pray that you'd do something for us special today. Lord, work in each and every heart. Could be somebody here today that's not in need of a revival. They're in need of salvation. Lord, if there'd be anybody lost in our presence, I pray they'd recognize their need of a Savior and they'd trust you before it's too late. Lord, would they maybe even at the close of this service that they might come to this altar and let us take a Bible, show them how they can get it settled and know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. Lord, have your will and way in each and every heart. I pray, Lord, that you'll touch me. Help me, Lord. I need you. I just want to be a blessing to these folks. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Philippians 4 and verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. I mean, we ought to be rejoicing. Every Christian ought to be rejoicing. Can I say this? If maybe you've been recently saved, you probably have more joy than anybody else in the building. Amen. I got to tell you this. I remember the day I got saved. Do you remember the day you got saved? I hope you do. Okay, if you're foggy on that, you know, I'd check up on your salvation, make sure it's real, because that was the greatest day of my life. I was 12 years of age, and I still remember it all the way back then. Amen. The greatest day of my life. I told you I lost my wife here just recently, our wedding day was, man, what a day that was. And I remember the day I met her. We were talking about that this morning or last night, one or the other, over with the preacher there. And Evangelist Monty Watts was a mutual friend. He introduced us, and the day I met her, and a great day. But all the way back to the day I got saved, the greatest day of my life. Nothing better. And I remember that day. I remember how happy I was, how excited. I think I was about the third row back. Auditorium was a lot smaller than this, but I think I would have been sitting about here in about three seats. And I remember the invitation was given, and I knew that I was lost and I needed a Savior. I stepped out of my seat. I came forward. I trusted Christ as my Savior. Folks, when I left the building that day, I didn't feel like my feet were on the concrete. You talk about being on cloud nine. That was me. Amen. I was on cloud nine that day. I was so excited. I absolutely knew for sure I was going to heaven when I died. Now, maybe you've not been saved too long and you still got that excitement. Sad to say, I don't know why this is. The excitement ought to build. But we have a tendency to lose some of that joy. If we're losing some of that joy, that's a sign we need revival. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? We're not rejoicing like we should. We need a revival. We got to get back to that joy we had when we first got saved. We got to get back to that excitement, feeling like our feet don't touch the concrete. We need to get back to that. Amen. If we're not there, if you're not thoroughly enjoying your Christian life today, well, there could be a problem. Doesn't mean you lost it. No, we're still saved. Amen. Thank God for that. Or okay, we'd be losing it every other day. I feel sorry for folks that think they can lose their salvation. Oh, my goodness. What kind of life would that be? Well, what I want to do here is take a little bit of time this morning and see if let's just suppose We do need a revival. We've lost at least a little bit of that joy that we once had. Let's see if we can find where we might have lost it. Now, there are several things we're going to look at this morning through the Word of God, and we might hit on one, and maybe even the very first point we're going to look at. You might say, "Not me, Brother Black." Well, glory to God, amen. That's wonderful, but if the joy is not there like it ought to be, somewhere we left something behind that caused us to lose that thrill that we once had. And let's take a look and see if maybe we can find it. All right. So bear with me. And if you would, you're already in the Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 122. Psalm 122. Psalm 122 in verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Remember when you look forward to each church service with great anticipation? I mean, you actually want it to be in the house of God. All right. Now, if you go back far enough, you remember, wow, I was looking forward to Sunday. Well, you know, and that was a well, maybe that's where we lost some of the joy. If we don't have the thrill of going to church like we did at one time, you gotta be kidding me! It's Sunday again. Oh my goodness! Oh, I can't believe it. Oh well, I'll go to church. I know the preacher's counting on me. If I don't show up, he's probably going to be calling or knocking on my door. You know, I'll go. You gotta be kidding me. You mean this, the afternoon is over, it's time to go back to church again? No way. A revival meeting? Monday and Tuesday, right? No, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? No. Every night? All the way through Friday? And I know, and you're going to be expecting me to be back in church again on Sunday, right? One day to recuperate from all that church. Yeah. I'm loving it, amen. If you're not loving it, I know sometimes we get tired. I know we work all day and got to get, and thank you. If your intention is to be here, and I know we may not be able to meet our expectations, but if your expectation is to be here every service, even though you're tired and even though things happen and you got a busy schedule and everything, God bless you for that. That's wonderful. That really is. But folks, I mean, we ought to look forward to the house of God. And if we're missing that, if some of that excitement has begun to wane, maybe there's a problem. I mean, you used to be here. Now sometimes you miss a Sunday school. Sometimes you'll miss the Wednesday night service. And then you know how it goes. I've watched it. I've seen it happen. People begin to miss some of the evening services and Sunday school, and then pretty soon Sunday morning is kind of 1 week on and 1 week off, or maybe they'll miss one out of the month, and next thing you know, they're out of church altogether. I'll never forget going to visit a lady. This was before I was in evangelism, and I was at my home church, and there's a lady in her family. I think of the lady because she took a prominent role in our vacation Bible schools. I mean, the whole family was faithful, but I think of her because she was so outgoing and she was great with the kids, and she'd get up and lead singing for the kids and everything like that in our VBSs. And they moved. Not too far to come to church, but I went to see them. And I told them, I says, "I'm just concerned. They started missing Sunday mornings. And I was so concerned. I says, I'm just afraid if you don't get back in church, there'll come a time when you won't have that desire to go." "Oh, no, that won't have to happen to us. No, we've got to do some work on the house. We've got to get this thing remodeled, and we're so busy with our jobs, and this is the only way we can do it. But as soon as we get it done, we'll be back." I've not seen them back. I'm serious. They've not been back. Good folks. Faithful every service. Serving the Lord. But that's how it starts. A little bit here, a little bit there. If I ever find myself not loving church, I'll know I need a revival. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You're in the Psalms. Go to Psalm 5. Psalm 5. Remember when you used to read your Bible and pray every day? Psalm 5 verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. Oh, I just want to talk to my Lord. Want to fellowship with Him just a little bit. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 97, the Bible says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yet sweeter, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I just love to be in the Word of God. What happened? You see, anymore, it doesn't seem to matter whether you miss a day or two with the Lord. It doesn't seem to bother you if you miss a day and I haven't talked to God today. Oh, I thanked Him for my meal. But we've had no real conversation. What if you and your wife, you spent the day together and you thanked her for the meal, but no communication? Not a good marriage. Never talk to each other. Talk to God. He wants to hear from you. And He wants to talk to you. He offers communication to you every day. Pick it up and see what God has to say. He's not likely to wake you up in the middle of the night and give you a vision from heaven. He put the visions in the book. And what He'll do is He'll draw your attention to a particular verse that maybe you've read dozens of times. And you have a burden on your heart. You talk to the Lord. You prayed, okay? And you shared the concern, the burden that you have. And then you pick up the Word of God and you start reading it. And the Lord draws your attention to a verse you kept overlooking. What the Lord does is He answers your prayer. He wants to communicate with you because He loves you. Oh, I don't got time for that. I don't have time for that. Doesn't matter to me anymore. You know, I got too many other things to do. Wait a minute. You're missing out on what God has for you. God wants to communicate with you. He loves you. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? You see, being with the Lord brought peace and joy and contentment to the life of the Christian earlier on, but somewhere or another we quit communicating with Him. Hey, remember when you could wait to tell somebody about the Lord? You couldn't wait to tell them about how you got saved. Amen. Go to Psalm 126. Psalm 126, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Oh, look at that. I can have joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I mean, remember when you were so excited about being a Christian, you wanted others to know? Remember when you were so excited about going out and telling others about the Lord, and you had the privilege of winning that first person to the Lord? How excited you were. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Maybe that's where I lost some of my joy. I'm not telling folks about the Lord anymore. Maybe I lost a little bit of joy there. In fact, folks around me don't even know I'm a Christian. I don't want them to know. Wow. You kidding me? Nothing better than telling somebody how to go to heaven and have them follow your advice, accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, and get up off their knees and say, oh, thank you. Thank you for telling me. Now I know I'm going to heaven. There's nothing better. I mean, I don't know anything more exciting than leading a soul to Christ. Sometimes you're discouraged. There are two things that will encourage me when I'm down in the dumps. I enjoy a yard sale. You don't like yard sales? I enjoy a good yard sale, especially if I find something. It doesn't matter if I need it or not. I don't need anything, all right? But something I see, like, that's a good deal. That's a good price. And you get it. Sometimes I'll find something for the kids. The other day, I knew my daughter could use one of those little drying racks that you can hang your towels and stuff on. She mentioned to me here a while back that she needed to get one. And I stopped by a yard sale, and I saw they had a bunch of junk there, and I figured I didn't need any of it. But you never know. I'm walking along, and I see one of those. And I looked at the price, and I couldn't tell. It wasn't in great shape, but it'd work. I couldn't tell. The writing was so poor. Is that a one or a six? They want a dollar for it or $6? I'll give a dollar for it. I'll give it to my daughter. And so I'm looking at some other things, and a lady comes over. We talk a little bit. Says, how much for that drying rack? I couldn't read the price on it. I says, I didn't know if it was a dollar or $6. She said, well, it wasn't six. Okay. that yard sale didn't make my day. I wasn't going to pay $6. I'd have given a dollar, but not six. It's probably worth three, but not six. Anyways, she says, well, the prices are negotiable as I'm starting to head to the car. Yeah, right. Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, but no, that'll encourage me if I'm down in the dumps. I wasn't in the dumps that day. I just saw a garage sale, thought that'll be fun. So I went and looked around. But nothing, absolutely nothing will bring more joy to my heart than knocking on a door, telling somebody about the Lord, and getting to pray with them on their front step and know that they know they're going to heaven. I mean, that'll turn your day around. I remember one time I was out visiting and went to talk to a couple, and I walked in the door. They invited me in. They visited the church. I went to see them and talked with them, gave them the plan of salvation. And I was talking to mom and dad, okay, and the three kids were in the living room as well. And I asked them if they'd like to pray and ask the Lord to save them. And they said they would. Well, that's great. So I led them in the sinner's prayer. And I hear more voices than mom and dad. That whole family of five all prayed that day. Every one of them asked the Lord to save them. And then they were in church on Sunday. When I left that place, I tried to keep my composure. I was reserved and, you know, spiritual and all that kind of stuff, you know, and I talked to them and invited them, you know, make sure they kind of come to church Sunday, talk to them about being baptized, all of that. I got out in the car, I closed the door, I backed out of the driveway and headed down the road, and I couldn't handle it anymore. Well, glory! Oh, thank you, Lord! And I mean, I had myself a shouting fit. Wow! There's nothing better than leading a soul to Christ. If you've lost some of your joy, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? If you've lost the joy of soul winning, that's a good place to get it back. Maybe that's where we need to go back to. Do we come out when it's time to hang those little cards on the door, those little door hangers? Do we come out and help with that? Well, I don't know that I can walk that far. Well, how far can you walk? Okay, that'll work. All right. Maybe we can find an apartment complex where the houses are close together, and we can hang one, two, three without even hardly moving, and then we'll go somewhere else. I mean, can put them in an envelope and mail them out, amen? Find a way to get the gospel to somebody and reach folks for the Lord, and it'll bring that joy back. It'll help you get that joy back that one time you had, amen? All right. Hey, remember when you used to clean the church or mow the lawn around God's house. It was important to you that the house of God looked its very best. Maybe you taught a Sunday school class, worked a van or a bus route. I mean, you poured your life into the lives of others. You prayed that maybe one day that little boy would become a preacher. That girl might become a preacher's wife or maybe a Sunday school teacher or a missionary. It meant so much to you. You look forward. You look forward to serving the Lord. You see, it's a joy to serve Jesus. Find something you can do for Him and serve Him. Maybe just pick up the papers on the floor after the service. Straighten up the hymnals in the rack. Some little thing that we do, a way of serving the Lord. Psalm 100 and verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Serve the Lord with gladness. There's gladness. There's joy in serving the Lord. Find a way to serve my God. Amen. Find a way to do something for Him. You say, Brother Black, I just don't know what I can do. Hey, there's a man right here. You know him well. He'll give you a job. You got any jobs that maybe could... He's got a couple. Don't delay. Somebody might get there before you, okay? He'd probably come up with three or four if necessary. You see, there's joy in serving God. Nothing better than serving God. I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. That's one of my favorite hymns. There's nothing. I love serving the Lord. Amen. There's joy in that. There's joy. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Abounding in the work of the Lord. Finding something to do for Him. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? The joy of serving God. Finding something to do for Him. It may not be big. It might not be a great big thing. But find something to do for the Lord. Little as much when God is in it. Amen. He'll take that little effort and He'll multiply that, and you'll be able to, you'll do something for God, and boy, it'll bring joy to your heart. Oh my goodness. Hey, John chapter 13. John 13. Remember when you tried your best to obey God and His word? If the Bible says it, that's what I want. If God says it, that's what I want to do. John 13 and verse 17. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. You see, there's happiness in obedience. There's happiness in obeying the Lord. And doing whatever the Lord wants us to do. There's peace in that. There's happiness. There's joy in that. Well, I don't agree with that, preacher. Didn't say we had to agree. Remember when the kids were little? Mom, I don't agree with you. I don't agree that the trash needs taken out. Okay, well, all right then. I'll ask your sister. Oh, I don't think so. But I don't like that. I don't want to do that. All right. Well, we're going to see who wins this battle. God, I don't want to do it. God, I don't like that. Preacher, you done quit preaching and gone to meddling. Come on. Back up a little bit. Back off. You know I don't like that. I don't agree with that. Well, I know it's in the book. I read it too. But I don't think it's important. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I don't know. Maybe we lost a little joy when we started picking and choosing what we wanted to obey and disobey the rest. That'll take the joy away. I mean, take it away right now. We'll lose it. It's gone. But you don't have to stay there. We can get back. Wilt thou not revive us again? So I can get my joy back. You see, I want that joy. I don't want to be a sad sack Christian. Amen? go with me to Psalm 139. 137, I'm sorry. Psalm 137. Psalm 137, verse 1. by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps on the willows in the midst thereof. For they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You see, they'd been taken captive. And their captors, they'd heard the songs of Zion. They'd heard the children of Israel sing. You know how David used to sing and play with his harp? And they'd heard some of that. And their captors said, sing us one of those songs. They didn't have a heart to sing. We're in a strange land. We're prisoners here. We got no joy. Just hanging the harp on the willow. I can't sing. Christian, have you lost your song? Have you lost your song? Is it hard for you? Not necessarily to sing the hymns when the congregation sings, although that could be a problem. But how about humming a tune while you work? Walking through the house. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. And just kind of praising the Lord as you work through the day. And just enjoying the things of God. That song bubbling up from within. Maybe you've been taken captive. Maybe you haven't been taken captive, but you've wandered into a strange land. And your joy's gone. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. You see, nobody forced us to go into a strange land spiritually. Nobody forced us. We just started missing church. We just let our Bible sit on the coffee table. We quit telling folks about Jesus. We gave up the opportunities to serve. And now we find ourselves in a strange land spiritually. This is not the way it started out. Like I used to enjoy the house of God. I used to whistle while I worked. I loved it. It's kind of grown cold. What happened? Where'd you lose it? Where'd it go? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? God wants us to be happy Christians. He wants us rejoicing. I want it back. Do you want it back, Christian? Do you want it back? Maybe you've never been saved. You can get it this morning. You can get a joy that nothing else could compare with. This could be the greatest day of your life, a day you'll never forget. And Christian, you can get that joy back. Let's stand with heads bowed. Father in heaven, Lord, I don't know if maybe we've lost something along the way. But God, if we have, I pray we'd get back to it. Lord, I pray that if we realized what's missing in our lives today, give us the courage to come down to this altar and talk to you about it. God, we need revival. Do a work in our hearts. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Before I finish my prayer, I just have a couple questions for you. If you'd say, Brother Black, I'm saved and I know it. I remember like you. I remember the day I got saved. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Could you lift your hand as a testimony of God's grace in your life? Just lift it up. Hold it nice and high for just a moment. I'm saved and I know it. All right, thank you. You may put your hands down. Perhaps you couldn't raise your hand. You'd say, Brother Black, I just don't know for sure. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I really don't want to go to hell. I'd like to pray for you. I wouldn't embarrass you for the world. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. But if you just slip your hand up, just put it up, put it down. I'd like to pray for you. Anyone like that? I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone? Anyone at all? Maybe you'd say, Brother Black, God spoke to my heart about something during the preaching. God spoke to my heart. I don't really have the joy that I once had. I want it back. I'd like to pray for you. Just slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. Anyone? Anyone at all? Pray for me. Yes, I see a hand. Others? Pray for me, Brother Black. I want God to work in my life this week. Pray for me. Father, Lord, I just pray that you'd help each one. Lord, for those that raised their hand, for others, Lord, help us. We've wandered into a strange land. Help us to find our way back. Work in our hearts and our lives today, we pray. Bless our invitation. In Christ's name we pray.